Have you stopped to think just what an incredible thing it is that the all-glorious God wants to have fellowship with you and with me? How many celebrities do you know that want to have fellowship with you? How difficult it is. In fact, they have their entourage to keep their distance from you, or to have your distance from them. But the Lord God is one who desires fellowship with us. And that's really an amazing thing when you stop to consider it, that this God who has made the world, made the whole universe, has all powerful, he knows the secrets of our hearts, yet he desires to have fellowship with us. Well, certainly at the heart of being his creatures who would please him is the matter of faith, trusting in him, believing in Jesus Christ, knowing him to be the Lord our God. Our memory verse for this month that is before us, the month of July, in the providence of God, and this is not something that we have just randomly done as a session, but something that is from a program that's been set up by the Navigators. And so it's in the providence of God that we come this month to Hebrews 11, verse 6. We've just been looking in the book of Hebrews, of course, in our morning worship services. And we've just completed chapter 11, and we're looking at now chapter 12. But let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 6, for the memory verse that we're going to be dealing with in the month of July. Now, for our scripture lesson, though, let's read the first seven verses of this chapter. Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of his word, and may he indeed lead us to understand it and to draw near to him as we consider it together. Verse 6 is, as I said, our memory verse. So let's say that verse together. You have it before you there. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. What's the first word there? And. What's that mean? You don't normally start a sentence or a conversation with "and," do you? Hi, Joe. And No, that's not the way we talk. We are connected to something that is before. And what is before is the comment about Enoch. And now we're able to talk again. Now that the fire truck has gone by. He has just spoken about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, the writer of Hebrews, in giving us this verse, which we have as a standalone verse for our memory verse this month, is connected to what took place, what is mentioned in verse 5, because it's talking about the fellowship that Enoch had with God and how God was pleased with that fellowship. And so now we have this broadening of the whole context of Enoch, so that it's something that deals with us as well. So verse 6 is connected to verse 5 by the word "and." And the things in verse 6 are the things that he's saying Enoch did in order that he could be pleasing to God. And they're the things that you and I need to do that we may be pleasing to God and to have this fellowship with him. So it's a general principle which we are to follow. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it's really talking about fellowship by which we please God, the fellowship that we enjoy with God. And what happened when Enoch enjoyed such fellowship with God? Death did not rule over him. And that's the way it is for us. When we are in fellowship with God, death does not rule over us. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we don't die. But this becomes an object lesson that here Enoch disappears one day. They can't find him. Why? He has not died, but God has taken him away. He has enjoyed such fellowship with God that God has taken him to himself. And so it is that that Christ has so defeated death that we need not fear it. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. You know, if I had my choice between staying here to teach you and going to be with the Lord, I'd go and be with the Lord. That's a no-brainer. But I know that the Lord needs me here for you, so I'm content to be here. But isn't that the attitude that we're to have? You find out that you have some terminal disease. How do you react? Well, the world often reacts as if to say, "Oh no, how awful." In my time as an EMT, I remember picking up a fellow who had been diagnosed with cancer. And the reason we had to go and pick him up was that he had tried to commit suicide. He didn't want to go through with that. Now, it wasn't that he saw death as being such a wonderful thing. He just saw the cancer as being something that he didn't want to have to go through. And that's the way it is. How often have you heard people say, "Don't get old"? Remembering, of course, what the alternative is. Well, it's not that we are not to get old, but we are so to enjoy God That being with Him is a wonderful, is such a wonderful thing that we look forward to that. We know it. We rejoice in it. Here Jesus Christ has defeated death so that we don't have to be afraid of it. He has fulfilled the law so that He gives us life. So then, in true fellowship with God, we are pleasing to Him. Just as Enoch was found to be pleasing to God. God was pleased with him. Here's our purpose in life, once again. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We are to live in such a way that God takes pleasure in us. And that's involves fellowship, doesn't it? Singing His praises, calling upon Him in prayer, reading and studying His word, learning from it. Okay. There are some things then that are basic, that were basic to Enoch, which are to be basic to us as well. Two things that he mentions. The first is that we are to know that God exists. Now, this is not really just saying that there is a God. Do you believe that there is a God? Well, you could probably say that probably 90% of the population of the world would at least believe that there is a God. Now, many people would say, well, the God of the Christians is really the same God as the God of the Jews, as is the God of the Mormons, as is the God of the Muslims, etc., etc., etc. But I don't think that's really what the writer of Hebrews is saying here, because he recognizes that there is only one true God. And that He is revealed to us in the Scriptures. You are to know the God of Scripture, that He is Lord over all. So we need to do much more than just confess that there is a higher power, or even that there is the higher power. But we must know who He is and believe that, believe in Him, believe Him to be the one living and true God. The God of Scripture is not the God of the Quran or any other God. And so for him to just say that we believe that a God exists, or that God exists and He is the one God that is looked to by all the others, whether rightly or wrongly, that's not the kind of thing that the writer of Hebrews is setting before us. The God of Scripture is a God who has certain attributes, who has done certain things, who is approached in a particular way. That's the God that we are to believe exists. He's one then who is not to be limited in our own minds. It seems that a lot of times people tend to think of God as being man on steroids. Someone who's a little more, a rather superhuman. I guess that I was instilled with the knowledge of who God is at a very early age, because, you know, we didn't have a TV when I was growing up, but when we'd go over to somebody's house and we'd see these cartoons, and there would be this superhero, but there was always some kryptonite that could make him fail. And I thought, well, how can he be a superhero if there's something that makes him fail? And that never really registered for me, even as a child, because I had been taught that the Lord is God and there is nothing, there is no kryptonite that keeps Him from accomplishing His purposes. There is no enemy that can stop Him. And so we must not think of Him as a man with certain limitations, even though He may be able to do more than you and I can do. He's the Creator. Now that in itself, when you stop and realize what he has created, that in itself lets you know that this is a being that is far greater than any superhero that man can think up. But it also means that we need to dwell on the magnificence of God. We need to stop and consider his attributes. Maybe it's like the psalmist talks about thinking of him on our beds at night. How marvelous he is. The power it took for him to create the world. Or you might focus in on the power it took for him to do one little aspect, or the wisdom it took for him to work things together. Dwell on the magnificence of God so that you may have that intimate knowledge of him, knowing that he exists, knowing that this is the God that exists, and not some God that is made up in our own minds or in the mind of anyone else. Think of his providential glory, the things that he does for us. Think of the redemptive work that he has accomplished for us in Christ. That's enough to keep you busy and really expand your view of God. Know that the God of Scripture is Lord over all. The other thing that he says that we are to know, we are to believe, not only that he exists, but that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, the very fact that he says here that he's able to reward those who earnestly seek him should also bring to mind the possibility of the opposite. He is also able to destroy those who are condemned because they do not seek him. But they seek themselves. They seek their own wisdom. They seek their own power and authority. But we see here that God is not only capable, but he acts. Yes, he has all power, but he also acts. The power is not just potential energy. It's kinetic energy. It's energy that he puts into motion. And he brings about certain things as he responds to our fellowship with him. We are reminded then that just by the very mention of this, that those who do not fellowship with him perish. But the focus, once again, is on those who do seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Isn't that incredible? He rewards those who seek him. Enoch was able to fellowship with God because he knew that God exists. But he also knew that there was a blessing in being involved with God, in belonging to him. There is something to be gained in fellowship with God. It's not just an exercise that we go through. It's not just a symbolic thing for us, but it is actual fellowship by which God promises his blessing to us. And it's not just the blessing of being eternally with him. Now, that's the way it was for Enoch, that he was not, because God took him to be with himself. But this is set before us as something that is for now, not just for eternity. There's something to be gained by fellowship with him, that he provides temporal blessings for us. And there again is something for you to dwell on as you lie in your bed at night. What has he promised What is he doing? Well, we remember the promise, of course, of the Great Commission. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't neglect you. I don't forget you. Or to put it as he did in the, as we noted this morning, concerning his time with his disciples, where he says, don't be afraid, you know, you will face tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, he doesn't say it there that I will be with you always, but I have overcome the world, so as you live in fellowship with me, you have the blessing. He is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Psalm 23 reminds us that he provides for us in the face of our enemies. The picture of there at the end of Psalm 23 is incredible. Can you imagine a table being set there with a nice meal on it? And there you are, you pull your chair up to the table, and there are swords and spears all around you, and people are in battle. You provide a table for me in the midst of my enemies. He provides for me. He hears our prayers. Because he's the one who wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us, he encourages us to come to him. And so that's just one of the blessings, one of the rewards he gives to us. He says, I will hear you. And he continues to intercede for us before our Heavenly Father. Well, these are just some of those blessings, some of those rewards that he has mentioned. You can think of others. Another good exercise for you, isn't it? To take the time to consider the promises that Christ has made. Promises that you and I have as we fellowship with God. Calling on him in prayer, reading his word, singing his praises. A great privilege that is granted to us to live in union with Jesus Christ. So let God be the God of Scripture. Not a God that comes from your own mind or from the minds of your friends or from the minds of others that you don't even know. Don't make a different one. Learn the Scriptures. Learn who God is in the Scriptures. What a privilege. You can fellowship with him. Don't blow that privilege. Oh, how easily we can let it go because the urgent crowds out the important. Receive him then as he is, because he has revealed himself that you might know him and walk with him.